This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn-Mark Roshan-Kennison and Noel Lim. It is 7:06 a.m, Thursday the 22nd of October, and in about 15 minutes we'll be speaking with Frederick Paulus, advisor to the think tank Research for Social Advancement, better known as REFSA, to discuss green economy initiatives. Along those lines, we're running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, do you think jobs creation should trump environmental protection as we recover from the pandemic? Let us know what you think, but right now, we are taking a look at the markets.
If I take a look, we've got all three big US indices are in the red. The S&P 500 was closed down 0.2%. The Dow Jones was down 0.35%. And the NASDAQ was around 0.3% down this morning. And that seems to be across Asia as well. Yesterday, if we take a look at the close, it was pretty mixed. Hang Seng was up 0.75%. Shanghai closed just under in the red, 0.1%. Japan was up 0.3%. Korea was up 0.5, and Australia a bit heavy on the close there, in the red, 0.7%.
Of course, our own KLCI also down 1.2% yesterday. And this morning, to give us more insight into global markets, we have on the line with us Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, in 2007, residential subprime mortgages in the US were a catalyst of the global financial crisis. Commercial real estate is now under pressure and loan delinquency rates have shot up. Could the next crisis be precipitated by this sector?
That's really the elephant in the room, and an excellent question. Part of the answer, I think, lies in how the pandemic plays out, and what we'll find with the timeline of the vaccine, not just the having one ready, but the ability to administer it very effectively. Nevertheless, I think there are some segments of the business that has shifted for good. Where I think online solutions, as well as quite a few employers rethinking work arrangement, means that demand in an already fairly fragile sector could start to dip. So that could certainly be one trigger point. But I think the ability, the fact that it is the elephant in the room, also means that policymakers have got somewhat of an opportunity to backstop this. So it remains a large risk, but I don't think we're doomed to have that unravel overall financial markets just yet.
And speaking of policymakers, Vishnu, with every passing day, it seems less likely that a pre-election stimulus bill will be agreed upon before the election on November 3rd. Have markets already priced this in?
That's a great question, Roshan. In fact, I'll start off by saying markets do not share your sense of time decay. So by virtue of each passing day, one should get a bit more jumpy about these things. But markets are increasingly looking at the prospects for a deal getting through, partly because Nancy Pelosi and Mnuchin have been putting out almost affectionate headlines for each other, saying they're getting much closer to the deal. So markets are looking forward to that. And as some might think, right up till 3rd November, I think there will still be the optimists out there. But I think there's also the sense of both sides now seeing an urgency to get a bill to push them through the rest of the year. So I think that's what markets are hoping for.
Yeah, Vishnu, those headlines you're talking about, I'm looking at one right now, Pelosi and Mnuchin to talk stimulus Thursday, although the hurdle seems to be the Senate Republicans continue to be a hurdle in that situation. What kind of impact do you see, based on what we just talked about, what kind of impact do you see to the broader economy if a deal doesn't get through?
I think that would entail some degree of disappointment being baked in. So I just want to take a step back and say first that markets remain very optimistic, but you are absolutely right. The hurdles, the realistic hurdles along the way to get it on the ground, and also there's a gap between what was intended in the bill and how it hits the ground. So all these are details to the market. And I think really the reaction function could be one of two things. Either there's an initial huge disappointment, which means you see a sell-off in equities, you see risk sentiments taking a beating, the VIX going higher, and then EM currencies getting a little bit of a hit, so on and so forth. But then almost immediately, I'm sure some corner of the market will start betting that the Fed will have to step in to backstop. And then once again, we could perversely revive some kind of market support. So really, it depends on the circumstances and the context of that and really the sound bites from policymakers that comes out after that.
All right, Vishnu, let's also take a look at another central bank. The Bank of Thailand has said that they are looking into new measures to boost the economy. And in the face of rising civil unrest in that country and the threat of capital flight, what kind of options are available to them?
I think I'll steal from you working backwards. And a lot of the measures, I think, are going to be along two dimensions. The first dimension would be one of supporting the local and the domestic market. And this is really to address the fact that there's huge inequities in the ability to access financing. So a lot more credit push and liquidity push aimed at the SMEs and the not as large corporations who are flush with cash. So that's to make sure that the economy stays afloat. A liquidity crunch doesn't become a solvency crisis. The other is to bolster investor confidence. And I think one of the things that they would not say right now is there could also be partial, capital backstops to make sure that capital doesn't flee, too brutally either. So these are the policy options, which are macro stability as well as credit/liquidity. These two are the options. However, I think they are price taker on the politics of it.
Now, let's bring that back to Malaysia here, Vishnu. Malaysia is grappling with a third wave of the virus or virus cases and with tighter restrictions in certain states. How much will consumer demand and industrial productivity be affected and how much will one affect the other?
I think this situation continues to evolve. And what we'll find is, our experience this time around may be slightly different to the first wave. I think the first wave was when a panic hit and there was a full lockdown. Increasingly, it's becoming a lot more nuanced, where it's going to be very targeted. And against this backdrop, I think you'll see a fracturing of the outcomes. So I think industrial production could still go forward because there would be a lot of safeguard measures and there would be demand for certain types of goods in particular. So that part may not take as large a hit, whereas the unobservable, the confidence of consumers, that I think could be damaged a little more because of the uncertainty. And we could see that coming through with a lag in terms of spending on the ground and precautionary savings going up.
All right, Vishnu, let's end, I think, on this note then. With regards to the Malaysian economy going forward, what are a few things that you're going to be particularly paying attention to? What's going to be some of the key points that are going to be really important?
I think we need to fall back on a few key issues. One is really the fiscal plans in place to buffer slightly larger shocks as we go into 2021. And along with that comes the two big questions. One is how comfortably and how well managed a further lift in the debt ceiling could come about, because this is a matter of numbers. And it's also a need that fiscal policy steps in. And also we want to watch further credit measures and that the BNM could put through as it tries. And really the focus here is engineering a solid recovery as we come out of 2021, 2022 with a slightly longer outlook.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Vishnu. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, giving us some insight into international markets, including as well, of course, our home Malaysian market, where, as he pointed out, a lot of scrutiny is going to be on the fiscal plans that are put in place to help us come out of this kind of slump caused by the pandemic. But over in the US as well, we have also seen some earnings overnight. Tesla, the electric car maker, reported a fifth consecutive quarter of profits today, beating expectations. Now, revenue for the quarter here was just shy of $8.8 billion versus around $8.4 billion appears to be the analyst consensus expectation.
Yeah, automotive revenue came in at $7.6 billion, which was 90% of the total there, and reported a record of 139,000 vehicles delivered in the quarter. Automotive gross margins, excluding regulatory credits, rose from 19% to 24%, and Tesla raked in about just under $400 million in regulatory credits in the quarter. That's double the amount from the same period last year.
So that is a nice boost to their gains. The China market has certainly helped them rapidly recover from the COVID-19 shutdowns. But just looking at their expenses, I think it's skyrocketed 33% from last quarter as the company builds new factories in Austin, Texas, and also in Germany. And CEO Elon Musk says that Tesla expects to start delivering from those factories next year, although it could take 1 to 2 years before the two new facilities reach their full capacity.
Yeah, so Tesla looks to be closing in on what would be its first ever annual profit. Now, another company that has also reported earnings, American telco Verizon, also beat estimates for its third quarter profits. So this was driven by strong demand for phone and internet services, as unsurprisingly, many employees and students continue to stay at home. Verizon added 283,000 postpaid phone subscribers in the quarter, above the estimates that hovered around the 270,000 mark.
Yeah, Verizon's low customer switching activity was due to COVID-19. I think that's where they saw a lot of retention there. But its churn rate also continued to come down, now at about just about 0.6%. But this might change with the launch of the iPhone 12. Companies will be competing aggressively to capture subscribers as Apple goes with 5G.
Yes, total operating revenue fell slightly 4%, I think, to $32 billion, which is attributed to the slower timing of certain device launches. Naturally, COVID-19, I think people are not so much in the mood to buy phones. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Apple, who's one of Verizon's key partners, has also delayed the launch of its new iPhones by about a month this year.
Yes, so that is all the international news that we have for you for the moment, though, because right now we're about to head into some messages. And then up next, we're speaking with Frederick Paulus, advisor for REFSA on the green economy. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.